Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Man Baggage. My name's Russell Kane. This is the safe space where we get people together, we drill into their heads and we try and ask the question of our time. How do men's brains work? What's going wrong with men? Is there such a thing as toxic masculinity? If so, how do we purify that? This is the Brita's filter of toxic masculinity, pouring a clean and refined fluid of men out the other end. That came out wrong, but you know what I mean. You're probably sat next to a Neanderthal in bed. Could be a husband, could be an uncle, could be a brother. What makes that hairy ape, or more lately waxed ape, in the corner of the room, what makes him tick? What's going on? And the people asking these questions are not men, it's girls. So this is a podcast for everyone. It's like a manual for people that want to know, why does my man dot, dot, dot? We have all types of men on here. We've had gay, straight, non-binary, drag artists. And there's a disappointing amount of patterns occurring. You would think people would get, well, how can you make a pattern, man? We're all human and we're also different. You can't really put labels on things. But no, time and time again, worrying patterns have come about. And that's what we're here. We're here to study those patterns and see if we can learn and improve. And today we're talking about self-control. And we're very blessed to have in the building, how would I describe him? TV personality, model, all-round nice guy, and also my favourite prize. It's not Hilary Mantel. It is another Booker. It's Eyal Booker. The Booker Prize winner. And it's good to see you, man. So where are you? Are you in America or are you in London? Where are you?
I'm here in London at the moment. Here in London. Go back to LA for Christmas.
Why are you in LA? Family or work or just lifestyle?
No. Not family.
Girls
everywhere, self-control, girls, you know, chasing them.
Of life. You must have said that before. Eyal likes Eyal. You must have said that before.
I haven't, but I will now. I'll take that back to LA with me. Quality of life, work, opportunity, everything seems to be bigger in the US. Mm. So the potential, with the scope, the money, the women, the life is pretty fun.
And eventually the blood sugar if you follow the traditional diet. Well, we can't just have two really good looking men talking to each other. It would just be such a boring show, because the problem is with men talking to each other about how men's brains work is we drift into things we wish were true or sexist stereotypes. Well, you know what girls are like. That's why we have to have a strong female energy, a feminine powerhouse to call bullshit on the horrific things that are probably not true that might pour out of our mouths. And today I'm joined by my own Mrs. Lindsay Kane, the female auditor.
Hello.
The House, the Lady of Lords, taking the white paper for verification of every observation. And we're talking about self-control, as I said. Just to give it a quick definition, restraint exercised over one's impulses, emotions, or desires. Very simple. Everything from ordering a pizza to accidentally wanking in Asda. Two things I've done this week. It's not just about me. It's everyone else's impulses. So I'm going to ask you straight away, Booker Prize. It's not an easy question to answer. There is no right answer if you're trying to be Gen Z and get triggered on Twitter. We're just answering it to be provocative. But do you think men or women have more self-control in your experience? So this is mums, aunties, girlfriends, American friends, British friends, Love Island, Normal Island.
In my experience, I think women have more self-control from what I've experienced. I think there's a small percentage of men that project the ultimate level of self-control, which is this whole, you know, 5 a.m. club, read 20 pages, no wanking, no sex.
I was with you until just... the third one. The third one sounded like a great day. As soon as I've done those 20 pages, I immediately ejaculate.
Depends what you're reading, I guess. But no, in my experience, I think women do.
Linz, would you agree with that?
I think it completely depends. Like, stereotypically, I think men have probably got less self-control when it comes to other women in relationships. I think there's a larger proportion of men that cheat because they've got the opportunity, so therefore lack self and control. But then would you differ? Would you say that it's the other way around?
Let me tell you, I've seen some crazy behaviour from women that are in relationships in probably the past 5 years, when I always thought it was men that instigate and men that cheat more. And I'm not saying either side does it more, but I'm just saying that...
You had a reality check.
Women are the catch-up, basically. Do you know what? You're not the first person to
hold
say
that on
here.
Hold on a second, because it sounds to me like Yals could be the one they're being crazy with.
I don't know about I've just witnessed behaviour.
Yeah,
I
witnessed it. literally underneath you.
So you think, so girls are given as good as they get nowadays?
For sure.
Basically.
I think so. And I think it might be because of male behaviour in the past.
So they're like, if you can't beat them, join them type thing?
Yeah, kind of thing. Possibly. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whether that's going to get me into trouble for saying
there's probably a lot of women out there with shit. There's probably a lot of women out there with shit boyfriends who a generation ago would have resisted. Go, my boyfriend's treating me like shit. He cheats on me. Fuck it. I'm going to go to the D tree and harvest.
The D tree.
People are just questioning their morals more and more and finding more. They're exposed to more. They want more. They want to experience more across the board. So everyone's kind of just fucking throwing shit to the wall and losing their minds.
So LA sounds amazing.
Interesting.
What's that on the
Could
wall?
Be just an LA
don't,
thing.
Don't analyse the wall. Don't go near the wall. That's all I'm saying. It's a great party, but don't lean on the wall.
That's really interesting. Well, that's very well.
It's a study I've mentioned before to do with big data. There's stuff coming in now where we're beyond the... Because if you stop people in the street in a survey, even men on their own and women on their own, and ask them, you get the same results. 70% of men watch porn, 30% of women, 80% of men have cheated, 30% of women. It's the same answers as it was a generation ago. But what we can do now is we can crunch Google data. And we know, Google knows whether the person using the search engine is a man, a woman, white, black, young, old. So we're able to get the real stats based on what people are Googling. So I've cheated on my boyfriend, what should I do? Is Googled as many times as I've cheated on my girlfriend, what shall I do? Almost. We know women are watching...
Oh, I think I've cheated.
We know women are watching nearly the same amount of porn as men, but most women in the high street would not admit that. So big data tends to back up what you're saying, yeah. That's very interesting. Yeah, I'm more interested in the first thing you said, though, which was, you know, 20 pages, 5 a.m., in that maybe it's not a boy-girl thing. Maybe it's seen as a masculine trait, that control, that rigidity of approach to oneself.
I think we see all, especially high-performance athletes, that kind of preach this level of self-control. We see the top 1% of business leaders or billionaires that all seem to preach the same level of self-control in order to get as much done as possible, which I understand and I respect. And I think that it's essentially, it does make sense. But self-control is, you know, when you first defined self-control, it also makes me question, you know, if it makes you abstinent from everything and it's about, you know, not experiencing pleasure or not acting on your impulses and doing the things you want, then if you have the ultimate amount of self-control, where do you live?
Yeah, there's a sweet spot maybe for success. This has been, it is important for success. It has been studied. That was the marshmallow experiment. It was back in the 70s when everyone still had pubes. Do you remember? Who remembers pubes? By the Stanford University. A marshmallow or some other desirable treat was placed in front of a child, and the child was told that they would get a second treat if they resisted temptation for 15 minutes. So this, you know, they knew they would get more if they could just hold out for 15 minutes. If they succumbed to the treat, they only got the one. If they waited, they got the second one. The children were able to control their urge to the treat, were later on scoring higher exams and had fewer behavioural problems. So there is a link between some degree of self-control when you're younger and success. However, we in this context, it's being defined as exam results. I suppose you could push back on that, Anil, and say, but what is success? Maybe success is having no control and waking up in Arizona after a peyote mushroom.
I think there's a balance within it all. You know, you have to have self-control in order to know what's right from wrong and to have some kind of morals and values about you. But I think if your self-control allows you to not experience anything in life, then you get to the end of your life and you have all these regrets because you had the ultimate amount of self-control to fluff up your ego and to tell everyone that, you know, this is how much self-control I have. Look at me as Mr. Big Bollocks. But do you die with loads of regrets?
Yeah, and bollocks that should have been significantly shrunken from activity
by the sounds. Blue balls.
Yeah, exactly. What you want is raisin bollocks and a smile on your face, lads. So do you think it's nature or nurture, Linz? Now, we have a seven-year-old, so I'm going to say nature because from very early on, I could tell, Minna, that's our daughter, I could tell what type of personality, what level of control, what level of excitement, impulsiveness and all of those things. But basically like me when I was little. And I'm wondering, I'm sure we can tweak it along a continuum and we can work on ourselves and we can develop ourselves. It's probably easier to become a less controlled person if you're overly self-controlled and being high performance than it is to travel the other way, I would think. So if you're someone with no self-control whatsoever and that's the way you've been made, it must be quite hard later in life to suddenly get your ducks in a row. Whereas if you're doing your 5 a.m. and 20 pages and you have like a fuck, I'm going to be dead soon moment, all you've got to do is not get up at 5 a.m. All you got to do is not do your 20 pages. Much harder to stick to a diet, stick to this, stick to that over a long period of time.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's nature in the sense that, but then it's nurture because everyone's perspective is very different. I'm one of three brothers and then I've got a little sister who's much younger than me. Me and my three brothers are closer in age. You know, the eldest one is an entrepreneur and started his own company and was very business-minded and focused and could concentrate. Our middle brother, Tal, is now in recovery as an addict and is doing incredibly well as a tattoo artist, but took that route into addiction, whether that's nature or nurture, who knows. And then there was me who kind of just, fuck knows what I do, but I seem to do something.
You decorated the marshmallows, then you ate them.
And my little sister she's 18 and we grew up together, but not as close. And she embodies a lot of my mum's spirit in terms of this like powerful, independent woman. But the three of us brothers were nurtured in very, very similar ways, but yet all probably view our upbringing very differently.
It's really fascinating. So would you sort of say that your friends have probably played, the surroundings have played a part in your choices?
I think our surroundings, although our friends have all kind of enmeshed into each other as we got older, but I think our perspective on everyone else's relationship with each other within the family and who felt loved and who didn't because of their own understandings and insecurities and you know, who felt that they were, you know, looked over or didn't, which then resulted in behaviours that occurred in order to look for attention and gratification. And
interesting.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Well, let's move on to some of the sexism of it. I'll ask you first, Lindsay, for obvious reasons. But if we get two equally self-controlled people, I'm loving this example of up at 5 a.m. reading your 20 pages, make 10K before lunchtime, do my workout in the afternoon. We all know men and women like that. But do you think when a man is like it, it's more self-respected and less mocked than when a woman is like it? Do you think a woman is given less permission to be like that, Linz, in our society?
Yeah, I think, Instagram, social media is full of the 5 a.m. people and all these annoying people. And I think a lot of it's fake. I think you're going to get a tiny percentage of people that are like that. But I think some of it's for show. But I don't think it's sustainable for most people. So they attempt it. I've tried the 5 a.m. I'm a night owl. I'm not even going to try and pretend that I'm a 5 a.m. person. I've tried it. It didn't work for me. Our lives are different. It's just not sustainable. And I think then it has a knock-on effect of failure, feeling people feel like they're failing and stuff.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If a woman presents, you're on a first date and she's like, I do this and I do that and I do that, there is a sort of sexist stigma. Women are punished more by society. They're looked as less sexually attractive. They're looked as less this, less that, this, whatever.
See, I find a strong-headed woman quite attractive, and somebody that goes out and gets it is somebody that I'm attracted to. So I fluctuate between this self-controlled lifestyle of waking up early, of training, of doing everything that I can do to be the best possible version of myself. And then I get excited like a little kid and I go out until 5 a.m. and I party and I, want to have my cake and eat it. And so I bounce between the two. But if I was in that state of discipline and doing that routine, I would want somebody to match that with me so that I'm not being nagged at for waking up early and it's like, oh, why can't you stay in bed with me an hour later? Or, why do you care so much about the gym? It's like, oh, she loves it too.
Yeah, you want a bit of flexibility, don't you?
I hear what you're both saying. What I'm asking you a slightly different question. I'm asking you how society, if you look at Dragon's Den, for example, right? You look at them and you see Deborah Meaden sat there, one of the wealthiest women in the country, extremely powerful, extremely successful woman, an amazing woman. And you see a man next to her doing the same thing. I think society looks at a woman like that a different way. Like 100%. She's not as much of a woman because self-control is a masculine trait. You see what I mean? Regardless of what our personal preferences are, we'll go into that in a minute when we go on to dating and relationships. I'm asking whether society is sexist in its nature when it comes across a woman with loads of self-control as opposed to a man. If they were equal, if all that was different was the gender or the sex, should I say these days, unless I don't want to be fucking cancelled. Do you see what I mean?
I think men, like you, Stephen Bartlett's and stuff like that, they're attractive, they're successful, they're this, they're that, they're like superhuman. But then you've got someone like Chrissy Sellar, who the fitness, beautiful woman, she's probably looked at, and she's spoken about it on the Diary of a CEO podcast with Stephen himself about how she's viewed differently. You know, she's pretty and therefore she can't be these certain things.
What I think
100%. Women are viewed differently, very minute. You know, if a man's going, no, I want this done a certain way, a guy's like, oh God, yeah, no, he knows what he wants. Oh yeah. Whereas a woman says it, it's like, oh, you're a bit sassy, you're a bit bossy, aren't you? And it's like, no, I'm paying for it, so fucking do it. I think women are completely viewed differently.
Yeah, I think we only have to look at history and the way that women have been treated and being discouraged or not allowed to have positions of power in their masses to know that men are viewed as more desirable if they are more successful, and women, sadly, up until I think recently when times are changing, it now gets viewed differently. But there's still that deep rooted feeling embedded in society with your toxic masculine type of male who believes that men should be doing one role and women should be doing the other.
Yeah.
To ask you both personally about how you've used self-control in your own career trajectory, you've illustrated quite nicely that you're a mix. Yeah, sometimes you're at the gym, sometimes you want to just eat quavers in bed and party. But have you sort of weaponized and used it to advance yourself? I mean, obviously being a model, there's a direct link between how many hours you're spending in the gym, how good you look and how much you're working.
You know, it's funny because It's really weird when I got asked to do this podcast, because self-control at this moment in time, I actually feel quite out of control.
Right, interesting.
The way that I've been potentially just taking things to an extreme and not controlling the things that I can in order to get to the next step.
Like what? If you're okay talking about
it. Just probably going out, partying too much, drinking a little bit too much, having a bit too much fun, because the opportunity is always there, but knowing that nothing really good ever comes from it. You know, it's the same shit in a different place. But I get like a kid in a candy shop, and I'm excited, and I'm single, and there's, you know, hot girls everywhere, and it's like, you know, fuck, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, but you can sleep when you're dead.
I think a lot of men say agree, and that sounds really stressful. We're all really feeling for you right now.
But there's also a lot that I still want to achieve, the things that I want to do and the things that I want to make happen in my future. And I know that I can only do that if I'm on my A game, if I'm doing the things I need to do. But you said about, you know, modeling and fitness. Fitness has been the most constant thing in my life for as long as I can remember. And that for me takes a huge amount of self-control, because most days I'm in the gym by 8 or 9 a.m. and I've done a pretty intense workout for an hour, and then I'm ready to take on my day. Self-control in other ways is learning to say no.
Can I just ask you, because I've been a single man who's been on telly I do comedy for a living. So is the two things that are going to end up with a busy bedroom is if you've got abs or a sense of humour, right? And if you've got both, prepare for pelvic injury. And so as a man, I'm not saying this to try and be glib, although I am a little bit, it is almost impossible to say no little boys are ever sat down but 12 13 year old by their dad and go, one day a beautiful woman's going to come up to you and she's going to sleep with you. You don't have to do it, son. I was never given that talk. Quite the opposite. My dad's like, fuck, smash everything like a Greek with a plate. So if you find yourself in the unusual position of a man receiving lots of female, and it is an unusual position, and I'm probably alienating lots of people listening, but you might, any gentleman listening, find yourself in a miniature version of it where you're happily married and there's temptation, there's a new girl at work or whatever. Men are, we're not just weak like sperm banks. We're not taught how to say no. We're not educated that no is an option as a man. You're not. No, I've never ever been told, until I was 25 and in relationships with women who threatened to stab me in the face if I didn't behave myself, I never realised it's something men should be, like boys should be taught it, right? Because it's fucking hard. Women are attractive. How the fuck are you supposed to say no if you're a single guy and you just want to get on with your life?
Yeah, but also why should you say no if you want to and you're attracted to them and there's consent there? Like, just
no, obviously it's fine now and again, but if you're in a position like I was, where I was trying to make my career go to the next level, move from BBC Three to BBC One, or if I wanted to model for Vogue or whatever, and I need to be in the gym and I can't be just shagging and drinking and all the stuff that goes with it. If you're in a position, an almost addiction position, where for a beautiful girl, you're thinking about the nursing home you're going to be in one day. This is what happened to me. I used to think about the nursing home I would be in one day, and that I said no to that beautiful girl that I could have shagged that night. And I thought, that will haunt me forever, so I have to shag her. That's how a man, if you want to know how a man's brain works, girl, that's how most of our brains work. I promise you. It's like, wow. It's like a, it's
I
like
do
a,
have to vouch for you there.
It's like the equivalent for, if you've ever been to a buffet and you wake up the next morning and think, fuck man, I didn't do the buffet justice. There was all that food and I didn't eat it. I'm not saying it's good, Lindsay. I'm trying to educate women about how men's brains work, and maybe it doesn't need to be that way. If we spoke to our 12 and 13 year old boys in sex education, educated them better, they might grow up a bit stronger.
So if you had a boy, would you do it, Russell? Would you tell them?
Yeah, I would, because I was in a compulsive position. It was affecting my health. So I was touring. So we stand up, you're filming during the day and being Mr. Everyone's Mate and Mr. Personality, then doing it all night. You need to fucking look after yourself. You're going to get properly ill. You're going to get mentally ill or physically ill. And I would sit down and the DMs would fling up and it was like a junkie. It was like, I need to be in the gym in the morning.
Because it's validation. That's where we're finding validation, right or wrong, is through those sexual conquests, essentially.
Right. What can we do about that?
Eliminate it. Just stop it. Just fucking wrap it up, lock it away and don't let it out.
Strap it up, yeah.
But it gets boring quick. If you're not pathological, it does get boring quick. It sounds like you're getting to that place. After about 6, 9, 12 months of it, you're ready. You think, shit, no, a girlfriend would be...
3, 6, 9, 12 a year.
No, but past a year, it is like you're some sort of dairy cow just being function milked.
Do you feel like a cow right now, y'all?
Into the milking parlour at 6 a.m.
Oh, such a hard life.
Yeah,
but the thing is, it sounds like you're bitching about... But eventually it will cost you real life things, because we all know, without naming any fellow comedians, we know how bad this can get to the point where it's compulsive. So there's men, fellow comedians of mine, who couldn't... I've got stories. They couldn't even go into the McDonald's and order a burger, and then they would have to fuck one of the girls working there in their lunch. Their life was ruined. They couldn't get anything done. And in the end, if you do that long enough, it's like using a drug or using alcohol. You can't feel properly, so you can't fall in love. You can't have normal sex, and then you're fucked.
Can I ask a question? You know, if a woman has so much sex, they get sore. Why don't men get sore?
Fucking hell, Lindsay, that's a technical question. Yeah, of course you get sore dick if you're shagging 2-3 times a day.
You just power through it.
You're ready to go once a day, though, definitely. Once a day would not be an issue. And would struggle. Most men would struggle if they were dropped into that position to say no. And I know it sounds like I'm having a bit of fun, but eventually it becomes a problem, because it will become an addiction. Anything can that's pleasurable.
So can we just go on the record to say I saved
she
you?
Did, yeah.
Is it, yeah. Yeah.
Lindsay was just one of... She was ticket number 148 on the blue... The blue reel ticket, was it? And I decided... Lindsay, I took Lindsay through to judges' houses with 10 other girls, and that's when she won the final, the life final.
No, he's such a wind-up, honestly. Fist will just come through the floor in a minute, Russell. You'll see.
Anyway, I just thought it was important to get into, because we're at two different stages, yeah. But I've been where you were, and it was all fun, sex and partying for a few months. And it was like, oh, shit, I couldn't actually stop this if I wanted to. And that scared the fucking life out of me.
For sure. And I think you've got to be self-aware in order to recognise it before it gets out of hand. And, I think I'm just at a position where I'm like, you know, there's other things that fill my time better and that allow me to be the person that I am, as opposed to falling into that place. You know, I come across people that are 5-10 years into it, and it's like they've been stagnant, they've been stuck in the same place, they are partying and it looks like they're having a great time, but you know, their soul isn't fulfilled and they're not happy. And I think it's about when you remove the validation that men get from sex and that kind of conquest that we feel, there's a lot of other things in order to that self-control can allow us to achieve in other places. And I think everything is a balance, but I think what you said is true. You know, the more you fuck around, the harder it is to find meaning in relationships with people.
And that's the same with anything. Fucking spliff, wine, ecstasy. It's the same with any substance that pushes you into an abnormal pleasure. Lindsay, I don't want to drift too far from the question.
Can I just ask a question to you quickly? So, you know, you're saying you're going to LA and stuff, and you're in between the two. What do you think serves you better, being in England or LA? Or what gives you more temptation then? Because it sounds LA is so amazing, that gives you temptation, therefore that's going to have
That's a mum question.
Oh, fuck off.
LA is more tempting, but it's also a lot of fun. And I think, you know, it's funny we're talking about self-control, because I want to have ultimate control over myself. And LA is a challenge because it's presenting itself as, can I really grasp that? And I'm not willing to be defeated by somewhere. I'm willing to gain that control over somewhere. And I will achieve that.
Lindsay, I want to ask you the same question about self-control and career and life goals. To what extent has self-control impacted on your own career trajectory, in your honest opinion?
I think when it came to the business that I set up, that probably would have gone differently. I just had a baby, so there was all that sort of thing. So I do think timing has something to do with it. In terms of self-control, that's when I was like, I'm going to start the 5 a.m. club. So I did make attempts to take control and try and do everything. I think that's the problem, is I tried to do everything. I tried to be the IT person, try to be the delivery person, the packet, you know. So I think there comes to a point where you've got to, you can't do everything, so you've got to make changes in some way.
Okay, guys, we're currently on a break. Please don't shag anyone. We'll be back with part two, all about self-control.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.